Good morning, I'm Dave Lewis. It is time for our daily 7 o'clock COVID update. And we have Bob Koppel, President and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital, joining us this morning after, I know it wasn't really a two-day hiatus, but at least, you know, from having to talk with me in the morning. But good morning and welcome back.
Morning, Dave.
Want to extend a big thank you and recognize also Tina Rockhold and Cheyenne Strunk. Is that right?
Last name.
For their work over the last couple of days. It was terrific to get those additional perspectives. Well, we're supposed to be kind of like at the apex of the curve right now with the coronavirus here in the state of Kansas. Are you feeling that that's the case?
You know, I think so. The projections, so starting a few weeks back, was that we would hit our maximum number on the 29th, and it would appear that we're certainly heading towards that. The last couple of days, huge. Kind of big increases, you know, either close to 200 or right at 200 new cases. I think everybody's kind of aware that has to do with a lot of our food processing plants. And it all gets back to people working in close proximity to each other. So that's, again, just something to think about going forward is if you have a business, how can you spread your people out? But so that's kind of as expected. Now we just got to wait and see. So where does that lead to and what else, you know, kind of comes from that in those communities and the areas right around those communities.
Well, we'll continue to follow that because, you know, we know that the governor next week is expected to make some sort of announcements, whether the stay-at-home order will remain in place or whether she'll allow that to expire. And with consideration that we've had some significant increases in the number of positive tests, and a lot of that, I think, is probably due to the fact that more tests are available, and especially, you know, those four food processing counties with Lyon, Finney, Ford, and Seward counties, you know, those are significant numbers that may encourage the governor to extend that stay.
You know, I think we're all kind of waiting to see the approach because you also have some areas of the state that have actually yet to either see a case or only have one or two in a county. And so I think we're waiting to see if there's maybe for areas like this, this is going to be the plan. For areas like this, this is the plan. And get a little more regional or targeted with some of the orders. I think a given is that we're going to have some sort of social distancing request kind of regardless. There may not be a stay-at-home, but there's definitely going to be social distancing requirements.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening at Ascension Via Christi Hospital, Bob. You know, there are concerns, you know, of other healthcare matters outside the coronavirus spectrum. And, you know, healthcare, hospital care is not exclusive to those that have coronavirus symptoms or maybe have tested positively.
Well, nationally and definitely locally, we're actually seeing a pretty alarming trend in people staying home and not seeking what would normally be emergent or urgent health care. And so as a result of that, here in Manhattan, even the last few days, we've had a number of admissions to critical care or to ICU. And these are patients who perhaps if they had an intervention or seen their physician or maybe accessed health care earlier, wouldn't have been so ill. And so, you know, really just, you know, patients know what their health conditions are typically. So if you have congestive heart failure, it's real important that you keep doing your daily weights. It's important that you watch your salt intake. Watch all your other indicators. If you're participating in a rehab program, you know, you can still exercise at home. You know, we really want people to be doing things like that to help take better care of themselves. And if you've got questions, call your physician. Call your physician office. I know a number of our physicians have also voiced concern about some of their patients. And, you know, if you've got COPD, you know, we've had people who actually have had heart attacks and stayed at home and didn't seek help. And all of these things, you know, they're damaging to you. And we don't want people to have bad outcomes. So just really, you know, really emphasize to people, you got to keep getting your normal health care. And you can't not do that just because of COVID-19.
I think we talked about this earlier in the week, Bob, that it is safe to go get the health care that you need when you need it.
You know, I think so that's one of the ironies, and maybe people don't think about that, but we're the organizations, healthcare organizations, the ones that are taking all the precautions. We have different air handling. We have definitely different cleaning regimes than most other businesses. Our staff are wearing their PPE. they're very, you know, everybody's antennas are up for what might be wrong with somebody, you know, and obviously a piece of that's around COVID. We want to be very, have vigilance around that. But, you know, this is definitely a safe place to come to. We want you to get your care, and don't let COVID be the obstacle to your getting care, because we don't want bad things to happen to people.
We're talking with Bob Koppel, president and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital in Manhattan. Bob, how many patients do you currently have that are being treated for the coronavirus?
I think as of last evening, we still had 3 positives, and we have 3 PUIs. And it's kind of interesting. The PUIs kind of cycle. A lot of folks, you know, again, their person's under investigation because they're symptomatic or, you know, there doesn't seem to be a reason for certain things that are showing up, but a lot of the PUIs actually turn out to be negatives. And it's just, you know, again, we're gonna do that swab. We're going to keep taking care of you, quite honestly, regardless. But then once we know that disposition, you might get shifted to a different unit, because we cohort all of the COVID patients. They're all kept in proximity to each other in a unit. That's to help minimize the use of personal protective equipment for our staff. But also that way you're not, again, it's kind of a safety step. That's why we don't have COVID patients all over the hospital. They're cohorted into certain areas just so we can keep kind of tabs on everything and also watch what's going on and learn from that.
What's the future of testing?
Well, so I think, you know, what we're seeing is testing is going to go in a couple of different directions. There's obviously, you know, we're going to continue to have the swabbing process. Hopefully the turnaround for that continues to improve. For the swabs that we're doing right now, our turnaround time is a kind of 31 hours, is usually we'll get results back. And so I think that piece will always continue. There's a lot of work on what's called point of care or more rapid turnaround testing. And with some of the early versions of that, quite honestly, the accuracy was not what you would want for a clinical diagnosis. We're already seeing the accuracy improving. The issue now is just availability, and it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of conversation around availability of swabs. Well, the bigger shortage is actually on the lab side, because you've got to have reagents or testing materials to actually run the test on the swabs. And that has tended to be kind of the bottleneck, if you will, for more expanded testing in the U.S. And we're starting to see that change, too. I think even over the next week or so, you're going to see additional ability to do more testing, which is, I mean, again, that's just, I think things are kind of getting ramped up. You know, we're kind of working through our process as an industry. And so I think that will help. Ultimately, you know, I think the things that will be helpful are things like a vaccine. But we're probably a year out from that, you know, year-ish, hopefully a little bit less, but you don't know for sure. There's also tests on antibodies. So that's like doing a blood test, actually. And that's really to determine if somebody has had COVID, but also to look at the antibodies themselves and see what kind of antibodies people are developing and in what quantities. And so that's kind of a key piece of learning as well. And I think that will then help kind of drive some of the future testing and research.
Yesterday, I drove by the hospital, and out in the front, they're facing College Avenue. And I know a lot of your employees park over there in the K-State football parking lot. A sign dedicated to those medical heroes there at the hospital. How does that impact your staff?
You know, so I think people certainly appreciate kind of the recognition, if you will. And, you know, it is a kind of a peculiar situation. So, you know, I think you probably have seen some of the pictures, like some of our staff even take, like our ER staff of, you know, we need you to stay home because we're coming to work. And I do think it's just it's not maybe what people expect. We have a crisis, and so we're asking certain people still to go to work because we need them to go to work, in our case, be healthcare workers. You know, and we see that across, you know, our first responders and other essential folks. Quite honestly, it's kind of interesting now. We're, what, 6 weeks in? 7 weeks?
Something like that.
I can't track anymore.
Yeah, I think the first order on groups was like March 20th, somewhere in there.
Yeah, and we had started our ramp up, you know, a week or so prior to that. I think the biggest, you know, quite honestly, it's just been a long time. It's been a stress for people. There's anxiety, obviously, too, because we have staff who are worried about family members.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here at our hospital, but I'm aware of, you know, some neighboring hospitals where staff have actually lost family members to COVID who live in other states or live in other communities in Kansas. So it's just very real and very tangible. And I think that's, you know, that kind of wears on people. We're going to actually do a little activity today with our leaders over lunch just to it's a socially distant activity, which is kind of, you got to think of all these things anymore. But it's like, you know, we just got to say, guys, we got to pull in. We're not done. We got to support each other. We got to support our team. We got to support our patients. And how do we do that? And how do we help each other do that? Because we're going to get through this. We know that. And it's just, I think it gets back to the world's going to look very different. You know, we will always have COVID-19 now as a future diagnosis for patients. That's just going to be a change. And so what does that look like over the next year, 5 years, 10 years? Because this is just going to be something we will just have to kind of embrace it, maybe not wanting to, but we're going to have to just embrace the changes and the process and figure out how to do things differently going forward.
Bob, we also want to remind our listeners this morning that screening line is 785-323-6400 if you feel like you may have symptoms of the coronavirus. And you can also find out more at RileyCountyKS.gov. The website that the county has put together has a lot of information that's very, very useful to help you determine, you know, whether you in fact may have some of these symptoms and what to do. And
very helpful.
Yeah. And also, today is another day. It's Friday from 11 to 3 today. Mask donations, anybody that's making masks. And I know I've heard of several stories of people making hundreds of masks to donate. And Westview Community Church is the place not only to drop off donations, but also if you'd like to pick up a mask, I think they're allowing three for a family. And that's from 11 to 3 today and then tomorrow from 9 to noon. And